The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
And a very good morning to you all. Ryan Tubridy with you this Wednesday morning. It's the 5th of February 2020. Why the pause? At 9:05, all the fives this morning. We're here till 10 o'clock. Text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. Many thanks to Oliver Callan for doing the honours for the last couple of days, and we're back in business this morning as usual. What have we got for you today? Well, we've got plenty, obviously, to discuss. First of all, the sky was beautiful this morning. I don't know if you got to see it. It was that peculiar shade of purple that gets thrown up sometimes when the sun is rising, and that's if you missed it, I put a little bit of it up on Instagram, because it was just, that's what it was built for. That's somebody was going, what about Twitter? No. What about Facebook? No. What about Instagram? It's a nicer place to be. It's a kinder place to be. It's also a prettier place to be. So that's where you'll find that if you missed it this morning. Now, the debate last night, in fairness to the debate last night, it was on a little late for me. So I find that watching the spin room this morning is a great, useful way to get a digest of it. So if you didn't get to see the 2 hours of it last night or couldn't stick with it, although by all accounts it was really good, I think that that half hour is quite a nice digest over your coffee this morning. Katrina Perry does a fine job moderating that. And this time round, they made the wise move to have spin doctors in the spin room, and it worked. It worked very well because they gave a good analysis of it. Then they actually brought us all to, there's a little library type thing in UCD, University College Dublin, and they had that filled with students, and then they did a little vox pop with some students afterwards. That was good too. And then they had Mary O'Regan was down at the studio sort of doing immediate response from people there as well. They had journalists from all over the world were covering that election last night, including Robert Peston, and he is the ITV political editor. And he tweeted about the debate. He said, "The Irish leaders' debate is really quite shocking. The three leaders have a detailed grasp of complex welfare and tax issues. They are polite and courteous. They admit mistakes. They say sorry. And they might have even be largely honest. Why is all that possible in Ireland but not here?" It's a very good question. And it's one that reflects the nature of political discourse in Ireland, say, versus the UK, versus the United States. And that brings us then to the Trump State of the Union address last night, which, again, I was watching back coverage of it this morning. It was intriguing, and it was a little bit sad in some ways. You know the nature of the State of the Union. The president comes in, tells them what's happening, and everyone, the Republicans all shout and cheer and hoop and holler every time he says something, and the Democrats generally stay silent and sit down. That's it. It's partisan. Happened the other way, flip side as well. So there's nothing, no big surprise there, except that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, reached her hand out to shake hands with the president, and he turned his back on her. And that's enormous in terms of protocol and manners and etiquette. However, she may have made a mistake against herself when, as he was taking the applause at the end of the State of the Union address, she lifted up, picked up his speech, which she had been reading a copy of it, and ripped it up once, picked up another part of it, ripped it up twice, and then picked up another section of it and ripped it up three times. And it just felt kind of, it didn't feel as classy as she had been in the past. And I think that it just wasn't a great look. I know she was obviously fuming. I know your man drives her mad. But I just thought it wasn't a beautiful sight. That's all. And it didn't work in it particularly well for her, I think. In other news, in that State of the Union, the showman, the P.T. Barnum of American politics that he is, Donald Trump, did things with the State of the Union. Like, for example, the American talk show host Rush Limbaugh, who would be kind of obviously very much a right-wing commentator, but and a friend of the Republicans. He had him up in the visitors gallery, and he stopped the speech and said, "Up there is one of the great Americans, Rush Limbaugh, who just announced in the last couple of days that he has cancer." And Limbaugh stood up, and then he paused and said, "We love you, Rush, and what we're going to do now is give you the Presidential Medal of Honor," and which is like a knighthood. And sure enough, Melania, the First Lady, turns around, has the medal. And I mean, this is pure theatre. Amazing. In the middle of a State of the Union address. And not only that, he did something that we kind of did on the toy show a few years ago. He turned around, I mean, in a much different way. You know what I'm talking about. Don't take offence. You know where I'm going with this. He turned around, he said, and there's a beautiful family up here, this lady and her gorgeous children, yes. And your husband has served 4 terms in Afghanistan, yes, yes. And you haven't seen him for some time. Well, let me tell you, if you look at the left-hand door, here he is. And the husband came in and everyone was crying and hooping and they started shouting, USA, USA. This is State of the Union. I mean, it's just showbiz. I've never seen anything quite like it. Anyway, that's all worth probably watching back. A tale of two political theatres, both in Dublin and Washington, D.C. But if you're a political, you don't even have to be an anorak, just interested. You had an interesting night at the office last night / this morning. There's plenty to watch back and engage in. And there's a picture today of an actress I really like, Gillian Anderson, who you'll know from X-Files. And I don't know how she got cast in this part, in this role, in the TV show The Crown for the season, the final season, by all accounts, of The Crown. It's not out yet, but they're filming it. And there she is, Gillian Anderson being cast as Margaret Thatcher. Now, that's lovely if you're part of the Thatcher family, but it's not something I would have seen as a natural fit. But mind you, in the picture where she's got the Gruick now and the outfit, she kind of looks the part, which is pretty, pretty interesting. So there, and Oliver mentioned that, and I'm echoing that because it looks the part. And actually wanted to bring me to another point on that, which is the idea of biopics. First things first, let's get this out of the way. Is it biopics or biopics? And is there a rule? That's fine. If we're going to go for biopic, that's fine. But autobiography makes it biopic. But if you're into biology, it's a biopic. That's why I find it confusing about biopic and biopic. Any road, I saw Judy Garland's film since we last met, the film Judy. And I was kind of not really that keen to see it because I just felt I knew what I was going to be seeing, which was somebody pretending to be her really well and good luck with that. And I'm not massive Judy Garland. I mean, it's Somewhere Over the Rainbow wouldn't be, I think she's interesting and all that, but I'm not running around with posters and so on. And what did I think? Renée Zellweger, yeah, really good. It reminded me of a good Sunday afternoon film. Didn't need the big screen. Didn't need, certainly was surprised, was a little surprised by the fuss. But it's all about her. The rest of the film, it's just a bit hammy and grand. Thankfully, Jesse Buckley's in it. And that saves the day in some ways. And what's her name? Renée Zellweger is really excellent as Judy Garland, in fairness to her. And she's acting. Do you know that sometimes you see? She's acting. You're good at acting and I can see you being sad as Judy Garland. But yeah, it's great. It's grand, you know, and well done and it's good. But I just, yeah. Now, I won't go there, but I will go here to text from Kay Foley in Kilkenny, who says, I agree. When Donald Trump is so rudely ignored, Ms. Pelosi should have not displayed her upset in such an equally undignified manner. To quote Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. Well, there you go. And John Clonroach says, Nancy decided to show Trump what she thought of his speech of pure BS. So let it be. Great to see someone deal with him as we all would. Not so sure about that. I just think it's the go low, go high. I'd be inclined to more agree with Kay now than the other, because otherwise it descends. And it goes back to what that journalist from the ITV guy said. He said, it's good to see a civilized debate. And if it gets uncivil, sure, then we might as well just all be on Twitter. And there's no joy in that, you know. So we keep going. I know that there was mention the last couple of days of washing machines, and I didn't know that. I was thinking, is it called the drum, the machine? Because I put in a wash only yesterday and I didn't give it a second thought about the state of the drum, the cleanliness of it. And apparently, if you do clean it out, if you do what I'm going to tell you, this little trick, you'll see the water that accumulates is brown, and it's because of all those clothes you've been putting in. Of course, it's going to be filth. People have been left impressed and disgusted by a clever little trick for cleaning your washing machine. While the results are great, the filthy water that pours out your machine as you do so are not. So the method is simple. Get a dishwasher tablet. I'm doing this as soon as I go home. A dishwasher washer tablet. Put it into an empty washing machine and run it on a hot cycle. People who tried it said within minutes the machines were filled with dirty brown water. That is your filth. Your filth. Up there, all those jumpers and socks and jocks and everything else just fills up brown water. And some people even essentially supersized the trick by using up to 4 dishwasher tablets at a time just to see if they could clean it even more. And those using the tip said they had tried previous things to do, such as hot water and vinegar, but they have never seen so much dirt taken out of a machine than with this little trick. So I'm going to try it. I shall report back. And I know that you'll be hanging on every word. It's too exciting to contain yourself, but we'll get there. Now, Liza Minnelli, by the way, apparently has no interest in that Renée Zellweger film and doesn't want to get involved, nor does Lorna Luft, but it's not that bad. In fairness, I think if you were part of the Judy Garland's family, you wouldn't be upset by it. It's in any way offensive. It's a cute little movie. That's what it is. Animal rights activists are calling for people to stop using the word pet when referring to animals they own. Okay, so how are they going to... Let's break this down. Jennifer White belongs to PETA, or PETA. But let's call it PETA, otherwise it sounds like Family Guy. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And she has argued that saying the term pet is derogatory and that it patronises the animal. Dare I say it, patronises the animal. They don't want to know. Instead, PETA is calling on people to use words like companion. If we keep trying to find other words for things that we know all our lives, the language is just, we're going to have to learn how to speak English again. But anyway, this is it. A lot of people, she says, at home who have dogs or cats will call them pets, refer to themselves as owners. And this implies that the animal is a possession, like a car. And when you refer to animals not as the living beings they are, but as inanimate objects, it can reflect our treatment on these animals. Animals are their own individual beings. The comments come after the founder of PETA, Ingrid Newkirk, made a similar remark when she compared calling animals pets to calling women sweetie or honey. Animals are not pets, she said. They are not your cheap burglar alarms or something which allows you to go out for a walk. They are not ours as decorations or as toys. They are living beings. A dog is a feeling, a whole individual with emotions and interests, not something you have. I don't think anyone who owns a cat or a dog would deny that. They love these creatures with all their hearts. But they still are their pets, I would have thought. But no, not anymore. They're now your companion. And the last item I'll mention today is regarding a girl in America who's age 6 and her mother in Massachusetts has written to the head of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, reminding him that he made a terrible decision because of what he called that speaker thing that I don't quite understand. Her daughter's name is Alexa, and her life has been made a living hell. In school, what do? They come up to her. Alexa, what time is it? Alexa, what's the weather in Ohio? Alexa, how do I make an ice cream? And imagine how that's repeated over and over. 6 years old, she just got in there at the wrong time. But what's intriguing if you look down a little further into the article, it says that her daughter be treated like a servant because everyone keeps saying to her, Alexa, play the Beatles or whatever it might be. So they explained that in 2016, Amazon said that the company's engineers were trying to create a product that would be reminiscent of the computer on Star Trek. Now, if you know Star Trek, you know that the captain would turn around and say, computer. And the computer would do what they have. But they said, no, that's too common as a noun. So they tested a series of names and they went with Alexa because they said they liked it because of combinations of soft vowels and that X in the middle. So it's a nice sharp word. But they also liked how close Alexa was to Alexander, as in Alexander the Great, whose namesake library was once considered to be the keeper of all knowledge. And although afflicted human Alexis can change their Echo's wake word, so you can, rather than call it Alexa, you can change it to Echo or Amazon or computer, that isn't going to stop everyone else from continuing to annoy the living daylights out of anyone called Alexa. So it's a hard world being Alexa. The woman in the shop says, calls me pet. What should I do? I was in a shop recently and I was think it was called Pet or Honey or Chicken or something. Repeatedly. It was almost like did it bother me? Not for 1 second. I couldn't care less. It's just this person's, quirk in the way she spoke. But I know a lot of people take enormous offence, and that's why, what should you do? Well, you can tell her you're not into it, and I'm sure that's probably the easiest way, rather than going around fuming at being called that. Right, and I think PETA are not 100% right, says the text. I am glad that animals themselves have finally raised their voices. Yes, some people would say they're barking. Not I, though.